The Bible reading today is taken from Acts chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 42. The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
So welcome everyone to church again. And we're going to spend some time looking at that reading, but we'll start somewhere else. And I think, do I press that button? We've got my, there we go. Thanks, Jason. Okay, we're going to play a bit of Spot the Difference this morning. That's a very easy one. So it's just the mouth, really, I think, is different on that one. But the next one, my clicker working. Okay, so we've got seven differences between these piglets. Can you spot any differences there? The window? The apple? The tail? Purple flower. Sorry, I can't hear the others. Mouth. That's five. It's not bad. I did see another one. I can't think what they were now. The tongue. Yeah, is that the mouth? That's the mouth. The apples are in a different place. Very good. I think that's about seven, isn't it? Well done. Well done, everyone. Last week we launched our new, what Rich called motto or church vision statement, and we're going to be spending the next few weeks trying to understand what it means and what it's driving at and where it might take us. And this morning we're going to try and play spot the difference between the old one, the old motto. So we're playing strapline spot the difference. We're looking at the difference between the old one at the top and the new one at the bottom. And there are a few differences. I'm sure you can see there's a little bit of difference in emphasis there. But this morning, the thing I want to zoom in on, this really isn't working, is it? Oh yeah, maybe it is, this difference. This change, if you like, from the word personally to together. Personally to together. And Richard did a great setup of this focus on together. We've done this deliberately to emphasize the corporate and relational nature of church, of the Christian life, really. Church is all about what we do together, where we're going together, what we're trying to accomplish collectively. So we had our reading from Acts 2, 42 to 47. Thank you. And it's a wonderful picture of the New Testament church, if you've got it open in front of you, just after Pentecost. And there's a lot in that passage, and we have looked at it before on an away day that we had in 2015. And we won't go into it in very much detail this morning. What I do want us to notice is the repeated word that comes up three times in this snapshot of the early church. It says three times they were together, verse 44. All the believers were together. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Together. And to be Christians for them was to be together, to share together, share faith, share life, activities, share food. So church, you see, isn't really about us as solitary individuals and what we want for ourselves. It's about what we're doing together. About our corporate focus It's about many different people called to be united as a body. And that's really why we've lost the word personally from our vision strapline. Because personally is easily misunderstood. It's open to misinterpretation. Okay. Our 21st century culture, Western culture, is so individualistic, isn't it? And consumeristic. We naturally, unfortunately, we tend to think of ourselves in isolation from one another. We think, what can I get out of things? What's in it for me? That's where our culture is driving us to. So if we say personally, there's a real danger that we automatically think of ourselves in separation from others, in isolation from all these people around me. There's a danger I'll think of my personal quest after God, my needs. I don't know if you ever go to Argos. Do you ever go to Argos? Do you ever order things from Argos? I think our nearest Argos collection point is at Sainsbury's Warren Heath. And you go there, don't you? And you go to the till, and they process your order, and they give you a number, and you wait there with the other people, waiting to collect whatever it is they've ordered. And it's a soulless experience. There are other people, but they're all there on their private missions to get something. They're not engaging with one another. In fact, if there are other people, it's a frustration, isn't it? Because that means I've got to wait longer to receive my order. And church can be like that. Churches can be like that, with an Argos collection point mentality. Lots of individuals, but all there on their private missions to get the thing they want for themselves. I once heard someone say they didn't want to be part of a big church. They wanted their church to stay small. It sounded a bit odd to me. It sounded like that person might find other people a bit of an inconvenience, who might get in their way. I remember asking another person about their church. That was in Ipswich. And I asked them about what their church did besides the service on Sundays. What they did together midweek. Any activities, any meetings. And they said, oh no, we don't do that. We're really a Sunday filling station church. We come on a Sunday, we get filled up and equipped, and we go out to the places where God's put us. You know, that's really our church. I thought that was quite sad. They didn't really have anything more in common than that one meeting a week. Now, let's not misunderstand. I'm not saying people shouldn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Of course, they should. All of us should. It's important that we know where we stand with the Lord Jesus. It's important we understand who he is, what he's done for us, and that we put our trust in him. It's important that we have a living relationship, a growing relationship with him. But a real key element of a personal relationship with Jesus is how we engage with a church family. In fact, personal relationship with Jesus flows out of our involvement in a church family. Some people try and have a relationship with God apart from deep involvement and fellowship with a local church, but it doesn't work. God's plan for us is to know his love and receive his spirit through fellowship with other Christians. So you can't have a personal relationship with Jesus, at least not one that's maturing, without belonging to a church family. But together, I want to say together isn't just a means. It's not a means. Together is the point. Some people think of church as a secondary thing to the main thing of their personal relationship with God. It's like they carry on with church, not because church family has any value of its own, but simply to get what really matters, my personal relationship with God. But do you know, God hasn't called us to an eternal one-to-one. And we'll get a shock if we think that our heavenly future is mainly private and mainly individual. God's calling people to a big family gathering of people. And the gathering starts now and is going to go on forever. The togetherness of church family is a sample of our eternal future. So we want to value church fellowship and invest in togetherness and make this foretaste of heaven as good as it can be. So our vision statement is really stressing the corporate nature of church. And it's partly a response to where we are as a benefice, because as we all pretty much all know, until recently we were three separate churches. And it could be tempting to continue to think of ourselves as a St. Luke's person, as a St. Helens person, as a Holy Trinity person. By stressing the word together, we're resisting that temptation to think of ourselves separately. It indicates our commitment to one another and to working together. The paragraph that follows doesn't say that we are three church families. Have I got this up here? Did I have something about something before that? Maybe not. What's the one before that, Jason? Okay, forget it. So the paragraph doesn't say we're three church families. It says we are a welcoming church family, a family, one family that's together. But together also means this family is, there is that we are a welcoming church family. It says it at the top. We'll come on to that in a minute. So let's go back to together meaning that we are united in purpose. We're united in purpose. You could imagine, perhaps, a church where everyone has their own aims for the church. Each person is trying to bring their own purpose to the church. That might sound nice in theory, but it's a nightmare in practice. Can you put the next one up? Can you imagine 50 or 60 different people all pulling in different directions? That's an absolute nightmare. What's going to be the result of that? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We'll simply cancel one another out if we're all bringing a different purpose to church, and we'll end up going nowhere. We have to be united in purpose if we're to stand any chance of being effective. We might say, well, what are we going to be united in? And hopefully, I don't know if we've got the strap line after this one. Oh, that's unfortunate, isn't it? It says, following Jesus together, together making followers of Jesus. That's our purpose. And we'll go into it in the next couple of weeks. But being together in that is absolutely essential. Because if we are together, there's a chance we'll be effective. It might still be tough. Trust me, doing God's work's never easy. In fact, the more faithful we want to be, the harder it often becomes. But God also promises to be with us and strengthen us and bear fruit through those who deliberately set out to serve his purpose and do his will. So together expresses we want to be united in purpose. And this is when church becomes exciting, friends. Church is exciting when we all know what the goal is. There you go. We all know what the goal is, and when we're all working for that same goal, that's when we experience tremendous fellowship and a unity, a spiritual unity. And my responsibility, along with other leaders in the church, is to ensure the goal is known and that it's shared and that it's owned by the whole church family. So we've got to communicate that goal effectively and enthuse everyone about that goal so that we can all be passionate about these goals together. We can all pull for these things together. So together is about being united in purpose. Together is also about involvement. Together is about involvement. Together recognizes that church is a team effort, not a one or two man show. Together means everyone's important, that everyone's got a part to play and something to offer. Together means all hands on deck. It means everyone should have a role, a way of contributing, of using their gifts. And if you've offered in the past and there's been no response, then we're sorry, because that's not right. Because you've got something to bring, something to offer. So please offer again. And we'll do our utmost best to take you up on that. We'd love you to be involved, to play a part. Because if you're not involved, we're the weaker for it. We're missing out on what you can bring to church. Others of us are incredibly busy. We find ourselves on every rotor. But if together matters, then the challenge for someone like you, if you're on all those rotors, and someone like me, is how can I involve someone else? And maybe even let them take my place. If there's someone else I can bring in and involve and show the ropes to, then I should. Because let's face it, newcomers to our church aren't going to push themselves into roles they can perceive are already taken. It's up to those of us who already do a lot and are in roles to help get others involved with us. And that's because we are God's gift to one another. Do you know that? We're God's gift to one another. And if God is going to help you, then he's going to help you through the people around you, through the church family, through other people playing their part in the body. And I don't know if the next one says it. This is our explanation line of the strap line, of the motto. It says, we're a welcoming church family that exists to help one another. Exists to help one another know and follow Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community so that they can know him too. So your progress as a Christian will come through other people in this church. But it's not all one way. You're here to help others progress as Christians too. You're God's gift to others here. So ask yourself this morning, are you involved? Do you have a part that you play in our church? So that's, togetherness means involvement. But together is also about caring. A couple more points. Together is about caring. If a church is just about me and my spiritual progress, I probably won't care much about others. But if church is about us together, then I'm concerned for what church is giving the people around me. Is it feeding them spiritually? Is it helping them? That marks a huge step change for any church when people take an interest in the progress others are making. And we're not just concerned about ourselves and whether I'm encouraged and spurred on and going for God, but we're more concerned about our children. And about our senior members, and about our new members. How are they getting on? Are they being encouraged? Are they growing in faith? Are they gaining a better grasp of Jesus? Are they rejoicing to know him? Once we look out for others and consider how it is for them, that's real progress. And when we see other people in our church thriving, that is brilliant, isn't it? Because then we know that our church is working. It's working for everyone. There's a real irony about how church works. Because if we come to church thinking mainly of me and my needs, we probably won't get anything out of it. Do you know that? Other people certainly won't get anything out of us if that's our attitude. But if we come to church thinking of others, thinking of the whole, of the family, and where we're going, and how I can help, and what part I could play, that's when everyone begins to receive and everyone grows and everyone gets what they need, you included. So together is about caring, and it's a chance for us to be the people we were supposed to be. We're not created to be selfish, individualistic. We're created to be like God, to bear his image, to love one another, to think of their good and to care about those around us. So we're going to feel a lot more human and a lot more whole if we have a together attitude to church and care about others. So we've got three things so far. We've got together means unity of purpose, it means involvement, it means caring for others, and finally, together means connecting. Connecting. What do you think is the basic shape of the Christian life? What's the basic shape? Have we got one for that, Jason? There you go. Well, what do you think is the basic shape of the Christian life? I think it's time spent with other Christians in the church family. The basic shape of the Christian life is fellowship with other people. It's connecting with other people. Do you want to put the next one up? It's not slogging away by yourself on your own for days and weeks without contact with your church family. It's regular, frequent times together in connection with others. That means we should be able to open our diaries and it will be full of engagement with the church in different ways. Now, that doesn't come from duty or habit or because Tom told you to. And it doesn't just occur when we're on a rota or we've got a role to play. It comes from, I hope, a conviction. From the conviction that God will meet with me and with others in a real and special way when we get together. Do you remember the verse that Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20? He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. That's really interesting, isn't it? When two or three, it doesn't have to be in a big setting, but when two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So we meet and encounter God in the fellowship of the church family. It's when we're gathered around his word, around the communion table, in prayer, with a Bible open, or in song. That's when we'll meet and know God. So if we're hungry for God, that is really our desire. We'll take every opportunity to gather and be with one another together. Sundays will be important, won't they? That's when the whole church comes together and connects. And Sundays will be more than just the service. It'll be about getting to know people. Perhaps arriving a little earlier. Or staying on for coffee. Finding out who people are. Letting them find out who you are. So Sundays will be important. But church is more than Sundays. If the Christian life's about meeting God in fellowship with the church family, Sundays are just the beginning. We'll look for other opportunities to connect during the week, and we'll take them, won't we? Prayer times, fellowship groups, midweek services, courses when we run them. I'd love to see us making more of the opportunities we have to connect. So if together means connecting, then we're going to miss one another every time someone's not there. It can seem irrelevant to us, can't it? Whether we're at church or not, or at fellowship group, no one's going to really miss me. But the church loses out every time you're not there. And so do you. So let's prioritise connecting and being together. And if you can't be there, perhaps you've got work, or you've got to travel, or you're unwell, connect in different ways. Stay in touch. Phone someone. Send an email. But together means connecting. We'll just wrap up then. Together means being united in purpose. Together means involvement. Together means caring. Together means connecting with one another. Let me just read to you a few verses as we close, and then we'll remain seated. We'll save our prayers just for a little later in the service, and we'll remain seated to sing two songs. So the first song we'll sing seated, and then we'll sing the second song, and we'll stand for that one. But let's just perhaps bow our heads, and let me read a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.